bit about the life of Abraham. Now, Abraham, incredible person, a very formative person in the Jewish faith and in the whole of Scripture. And we're going to be looking a little bit at his life and also considering how it might impact directly on ours and where there are similar areas of overlapping as we consider the life of this incredible person, Abraham. So if you want to turn with me to Hebrews 6, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 to 15. The writer to the Hebrews is here speaking to them. And he says, "We desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you.' And thus, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise." And so Hebrews there gives us that instructions to be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So there's a lot for us in the life of somebody like Abraham to imitate, to get a hold of, to consider. Now, we could spend at least about 10 sessions on Abraham. So I'm just going to be touching a little bit on it. If you like it, then you might ask me back. So that's the good thing about starting on something like a long passage like Abraham. In Genesis 18, verse 19, it says that the Lord chose Abraham to show him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. That's a beautiful description of what God intended when he kind of comes to Abraham, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. And we see all throughout Abraham's life three things that exemplify everything that Abraham is: obedience and submission, faith and trust. So those three, four things: obedience and submission, faith and trust. He really is a central figure. He's known as the father of the faith. And this can be seen in the name. And like many Hebrew names, the name given by God is indicative of the mission which God has for that person. And Abraham's name, Avram, which was later then changed to Abraham. Avram means exalted father. Abraham later on means a father of a multitude. And of course, in the Hebrew, it's Avram, and the word Av is father. You might remember the Avinu, our father, or Avi, my father. So Av is father. So Avraham is the name given to him as a father, and he is known as the father of our faith. Yeshua says of him in the New Testament, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And so God comes to this ordinary person, Abraham, just chooses him out of the blue. And he's so central that God, in a sense, from the point of when God meets with Abraham, from then on, God gives his own name to Abraham. So he is known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And from Jacob, Israel, the God of Israel. And all of that somehow starts with Abraham. So Abraham is a really foundational figure, and it's as if God, after everything goes wrong at the fall and then the flood and then the terrible idol worship that takes over humanity, that in Abraham, God chooses a man to start something completely new. And that is absolutely incredible. And the life of Abraham in the Tanakh covers 12 chapters. So it's a really a long passage of scripture in the Old Testament given to Abraham. And spiritually, Abraham's life is a profound influence to us as New Testament believers. Amazingly enough, Abraham's name is mentioned 70 times in the New Testament. So let's move to Genesis 12, and we see how, in this incredible way, in Genesis 12, God, just as it almost out of the blue, comes to Abraham. He chooses Abraham. Abraham, in chapter 11, Terah takes Abraham, his son, there just on a journey. And then suddenly, God comes to Abraham, chapter 12. And we'll just read this few passages together. Chapter 12, Genesis. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. So you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So around this is God giving right at the beginning promises to Abraham. Later on, those promises are reinforced. God reinforces them even further with an oath. And then before that, God gives a covenant. We probably haven't got time to get to those things tonight. But notice the seven promises that are here. I will make you, Abraham, a great nation. I will bless you personally. I will make your name great. So you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. The one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, we have the incredible advantage. We can look back about 4,000 years and see the intimate things that happened 4,000 years ago in the ancient world. And we can see how these promises, which were given to Abraham, have all come to pass in the most incredible way. He couldn't see that. And the point which we can notice here is that God gave to Abraham promises. He reveals himself to Abraham in a personal way. It's not a matter of personal favoritism, but of God's kindness choosing Abraham to work out universal salvation. And what we can see here is that the process that God chose to give to Abraham is very similar to the spiritual process that we ourselves in the new covenant are also going through. We also have many great and precious promises. God has given to us great and precious promises. We were, Ephesians 2 verse 12, we were strangers and aliens from the promises of God. But now, 2 Peter 1:4 tells us we are now been given great and precious promises. So we have, it's the same process as was given to Abraham. And so what God did to Abraham was that Abraham had to walk, if you like, blindly, trusting, believing these promises, so that he, through by faith and patience, might inherit the promise. And it, beloved, it is very similar with you and me. God has given to us incredible promises, but it's necessary for us. There is a journey and a process that we have to go through to be on the good end, to actually to receive those promises in actuality. We have them promised to us, but we have to get to the place of journeying. And that's why God did that with Abraham. God could have said to Abraham, Abraham, here's the land, and could have just plonked him there, given him the whole thing, everything, just like that. It wouldn't have been a problem for the Lord. He could have done all of that. But he didn't. He said, I am going to do this for you. But you know, by definition, a promise means that there has to be some delay. If I say to you, I promise I'm going to do something for you, that means that it's going to come later on. If I say I'm going to give you something now, then you're going to get it now. So God gives us promises, but then there is this journey when we have to journey with God. And with God, the destination is vitally important, but we only get to the destination by journeying along the way, pilgrim's progress, if you like. And to God, and also to us too, it's the journeying which is as important as the final destination, because it's the journeying which will decide whether we actually get to the destination. And so our life is a process of realizing, stepping into, finding and knowing the wonderful promises of God. Wonderfully, even though the Mosaic covenant promised incredible things, our hope in the Messiah is based on even better promises. That's also Hebrews 8 verse 6, because in the Messiah, everything is complete. Everything is fulfilled. But what is the purpose of the promises? Why give us promises? Why not give it to us now? I don't know whether you're like me. Sometimes I think, Lord, I keep on failing all the time. I keep on doing this. And Lord, why can't you make me the person? Why can't it happen now? Why can't I not get frustrated and annoyed and angry now? Why do I have to go through all this hassle and living in a mad world and this, that, and the other? And we want it instantly, but God has chosen a different pathway, and that's through faith and patience that we inherit these promises. And how do we do that? How do we come to the place? How do I enter into the fullness of these promises like Abraham? Well, the answer is that we come to that point of we embrace the promises by faith on every level. That will take all of our concentration on every level. It will take all of the spiritual effort in our being, as well as being at that place of rest and peace. There is also a place of a right spiritual stepping on and pressing on and laying a hold of and claiming and fighting the battle of faith and not giving up and not growing weary. These are all part of how we embrace the promises of God. And Colossians 1 gives us a clear, very clear picture of what the Apostle Paul, who's the apostle to the Gentiles, and he's writing to them, and he's so excited about all that God is doing in their lives, and what he's wanting for them to know. Colossians 1 verse 27 is that we might know Messiah in you. He says that you might know the mystery hidden from past ages and generations, but now manifested to his holy ones, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Messiah in you, the hope of glory. And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every person with all wisdom, that we may present every person complete in the Messiah. And then in the same chapter, in verse 9 to 14, he says this: "And for this reason, since the day we heard of it, we haven't ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." So here we have a as it were, a picture of God's plan for our lives, that we be, as it were, really growing in the Lord, growing in his strength. And we see in nature how everything, God has designed everything to grow. A tree, a little plant, a seed is there so that it might grow, put down its roots firmly in the ground and grow into a huge tree that bears fruit. And that's God's will, beloved, for your life. God's will for your life is that you become so strong in his grace, so filled with his Holy Spirit, so immersed in the knowledge of his will, that we move into that place of, as it were, entering in to the promises of God now by faith. Because he has promised us eternal life. The great promise of the new covenant, of course, is eternal life. And that just completely, it's a mystery. We can't get our brain around it. But the process of, as it were, being immersed in the grace of God, in the love of God, in the Holy Spirit of God, and through the Word of God, and applying ourselves diligently to living a life that is pleasing to the Lord. That's in Paul's prayer that we just read, that you may live a life pleasing to the Lord. This is a challenge for us. It's such a challenge. And that only comes about by a great deal of personal wrestling on our part. It just doesn't fall out of the sky. I wish it did. It involves a struggle. And that's good. The fact that we are struggling is a good thing, because it means we're really taking this stuff seriously. We've seen the promises of God. You see, Abraham saw the promises of God. He saw the land of Canaan by faith. He wasn't there, but he saw it by faith, and he persevered in faith, and he believed in faith, and he persevered in faith and obedience and trust. And it is the same with us. We see Yeshua by faith. We lay a hold of Yeshua by faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith. We take a hold of God, as it were, by faith. And faith is that wonderful gift of God, which has been given to us. It's a gift, but God wants that faith to grow and to grow and to deepen, and the roots to go down deeper. And it's a mystery, and we can never, and Yeshua always commends where he sees faith in the new covenant. He always commends, "Daughter, go in faith, your faith has saved you." And anywhere there's faith in the Lord, in the new covenant, it's commended, because it's that faith which draws us close to the Father. And as we said at the beginning, Abraham, his name, Father, the whole purpose of God's coming into our lives is that we might know him more and more as Father. That's why Abraham is called the Father of faith. And that is the great calling to which God has called them. And you remember the disciples with Yeshua in the last hours of his life, and they were talking with him, and then the disciples said, "Show us the Father." And Yeshua said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. And that is that process of knowing the Father and of having the Father and that knowledge of God as our Father, that really begins with Abraham. That begins with the one who has the name of Father. And that's what wonderfully God is doing in our lives. And beloved, it's worth it. It's worth going through trials and difficulties and obstacles and problems, whatever they may be, because God has a plan for your life, that you become that one, that holy one in the Lord, who knows God's mighty power in your life, so that you might know his grace and his mercy, and are fully able to immerse yourself more and more and to live in the good of the promises of God together. That's God's will for our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray together, shall we, and ask the Lord to help us in our journey of faith. We are so thankful that he's given us amazing people like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the other characters, and also all the men and women down throughout the ages. And they've all learnt this walk of faith, and we are following in their footsteps. So let us pray that the Lord helps us to walk in their footsteps. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the journeying of Abraham, and how by faith and obedience and trust that he came to that good place where by faith and patience he inherited the promises. And Lord, we thank you that you've chosen for us a very similar pathway. And Lord, we ask you that you would help us in our journey of faith. Please increase our faith, Lord. Please grant us more and more faith. Ground us in the faith of God. And we ask that our faith would increase. We pray that our perseverance would increase. We ask you to strengthen us inwardly by the power of God, so that we might know your inward empowering more and more, that we might be firmly established and grounded in you. And we thank you that that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what you're doing, Lord. How can we thank you enough? You're revealing yourself to us as the eternal Father. And Lord, that's a mystery, and it's so wonderful in Yeshua. You're revealing yourself as the Father, and that started all with Abraham. And Lord, we praise you with all our hearts. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We pray that you continue to make us a blessing and to grow us, Lord, into the disciples that you want us so clearly to be. Thank you that your will for our lives is goodness and mercy and holiness and righteousness and justice and forgiveness and healing. Thank you so much for your perfect will. And Lord, we thank you for this past week. Please meet with us in the week to come. We thank you that you are with us We know by faith that you are with us, and we trust you in that. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen. Amen.